What is going on, guys, and welcome to the Floating Island Podcast. As always, I hope you're living your best life. Wow, I kind of just messed up my own entry right there. I hope you guys are having the best day, week, month, year, whatever you're doing. I hope you're doing it right and you're living your best life. What's up, Dad?
Hey, how are you doing, Zach?
I'm always kicking it. Oh, well, thanks for coming back on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Kind of cool now, different setup now than last time.
Yeah, you're getting more fancy.
More and more fancy. Slowly. Just, yeah. Now, Angel, the video editor, he's been a huge help in doing all this. So, shout out Angel as always. So let's get into it, huh?
Uh-huh.
Talking about all sources. I know we kind of already, we're talking about what should we talk about. I asked you a question. Mm-hmm. Like, there you go. And I just kind of want to know the answer. So I asked you, what would you do if you were in a parking lot and an alien race just came out of nowhere and they offered you the chance to, like, hey, you got to leave right now. You don't get to say bye to anyone. Like, you don't get to say bye to me, Caleb, no one. But you get the chance to explore and see the rest of the universe. Are you taking that opportunity?
That one is, it's a tough one. At one level, I could see doing it just because it's a unique opportunity and you get to see a whole lot of stuff. The hard part is that people get hurt, your mom would be like, what happened to my husband? There's a lot of people, as you get older and more advanced, whether with family, with organizations, people depend on you. And so I would kind of leave a pretty big hole. So that would be the thing, is that humanity has incredible resiliency. Everyone would move on. I don't think it's just
after a couple of years of searching, we would have to call it off.
Yeah. Hopefully they think I'm dead, so you get the life insurance or something like that.
I don't know, because there would be no trace of you. There would be no way of even finding a trace of you.
But
then you get it, you get to find the questions that so many people on Earth want to know. Like, what's out
there? Yeah. What if it's really boring? That would be the
nothing at all.
We
can't land on it. It's inhospitable.
Yeah, pretty much our two places are it. So I go visit their world, and it's kind of boring. And it's like, all right, yay. Now what?
It just looks like it's just like Earth, just a little more fancy.
You want to drive around space? Not really anymore.
Black void.
Yeah. Hey,
there's a lot of just emptiness in space.
Be like, hey, yes, you'll get to see the universe, but at the speed we'll be traveling,
you'll die when we get to the destination.
Oh, look here, this is the coolest place ever. Oh, you just passed away.
LSA, cryo freeze technology and stuff like that.
Assumptions.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you wouldn't really. It would be, I'm juggling, and that'd be a hard yes or no answer then and there.
Yeah, and that's the thing is like, you always got to be careful, right? It's sometimes taking the leap is life-giving.
Right.
Sometimes you miss. And so that would be the thing is to go, what we do know is that a good chunk of the universe is stars and empty space. So going, okay, wow, I took this opportunity to see what I could have seen from my backyard and still been with my family.
True.
So, yeah.
It's crazy. Well, there you go. So I think after weighing it all, what would your answer be? Would you be like, I guess I'm staying? Because it would have been like a yes or no right on the spot. After now considering, you're like, dang, what if it's just boring?
Yeah.
What if it is just, there is actually nothing? Unless they could look at me and go, no, dude, I'm telling you, it's incredible out there.
You know what? I think what we're missing, and so, one of the things that ought to happen as we get to know ourselves and as we're able to read, and obviously these are aliens.
Yeah,
I gotta be honest. I would be checking my spirit in that moment. Like, what What am I sensing from these alien beings? Not that our intuition can misguide us as well. But I guess I would go, man, if it kind of felt a little sketchy, I might be like, no, because they might be like, hey, come see the universe. And actually, that's how they actually, there's a
classic. Some candy?
Yeah, there's a classic. Yeah, right. Well, there's a classic a classic story where aliens come, right?
He's baiting you to probe you.
No, yeah, aliens come, right? And they have this book, and it's How to Serve Man. And they're like, oh, wow, this is really cool. And someone further translates it and finds out it's a cookbook.
Oh, How to Serve.
Oh, yeah. And so they're like, oh, come see the universe. And meanwhile, you're the main event at their next barbecue. So, right. So,
they spoil you before they eat.
Yeah, they're like,
you taste better
when
you're happy, bro.
Here, have some more. Oh, thank you. I'm getting kind of chubby. Yes, you are.
I feel like that question just lost like all the hope and imagining behind it, because now it's just like, what if you were just food? What if you're just their food, dude?
Yep. Yeah. So, I think I would have to say that I'd have to answer it in the moment.
There was, it made me think of the food. There was a game. It was called High on Life.
Mm-hmm.
It's High on Life, where us as humans, we think we're the center of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
But it was when the alien race came, they were just abducting people because we were their drugs.
Okay.
They would smoke us. Yeah. They would use us as their drugs, and that's why they were taking us. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't that be like a crazy thing? Oh, you guys, like, you're special, dude. We just use you to get high.
Yeah.
Basically, that was gnarly.
Now we know how cows feel.
Huh. Dude, but we were just like, we had a conversation like that about fish. Like, and they said, well, how do fish think? Like, I was like, if you take a fish and then throw it in your tank, and if it actually has like thought process, you're just like it's like a slave owner.
Hey, really, it's not that fun.
Snatched you out of your home, threw you in a tank and put you on display. For people just to look at.
Yeah, and naked at that. Like, whoa, this is awkward.
Are fish naked, or do you think their scales represent kind of like a clothes? Or do they see that? Do they even comprehend naked?
No, I never know.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I mean, I wonder if we can get to a point, though, in technology where... How do they find out how animals are feeling? Like, I swear there's technology out there that they could read or something.
They look at behavioral cues.
And
so then if you study a particular species over time, you start to see trends and can figure out certain behaviors. And
like with the monkeys, they can scan their brains while they're playing like the video game stuff that they have them on.
Yeah, depending on how advanced their brain is, they can see the neural pathways and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's some crazy stuff. That's some pretty cool stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I just like just having like the VR set I just bought. That is so cool. Like the different, like the technology we're able to do is insane. And it's so crazy. Like there's so much good we could do with all this technology when our world's crappy.
The reality is that, so as you say that, what have you used your VR set for since you got it?
I've been playing Medal of Honor. Fighting the Nazis.
Playing games.
Yeah.
Right. So let's just So if you took that technology, you'd probably do a lot of crazy stuff. Yeah. There's a lot of things we could do. Fortunately, we tend to market ourselves towards being entertained, and especially in our country. And so But happy for you to start using it for good.
Yeah. The thing is, I don't know anything about that. If I was some techie guy and I was like super smart and I was like, I can create like these crazy headsets, then sure. Mm-hmm. I can't do that. I do not have the brain for that. Well, like, nor does this desire to learn all that intricate work.
Two separate things. Desire is understandable. Brain, no, I mean, we all have
the capacity. If I did take the time.
Mm-hmm.
Used the research, went to school. Yes. Could I get to that point? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Then no, then it would be a desire thing. I have no desire to jump in that field. Nope. I feel like it would probably be as like cool as like seeing your finishing product would probably be.
Mm-hmm.
Getting there is probably the most boring and time consuming thing ever.
Sure.
Having to know each, make sure every connection is right.
Yeah, that's right. But that's actually so. I'm listening to a book called Mind Shift, and that's one of his points, was that you don't need an audience, and that actually what you may feel is boring and tedious, if you know it is the right path, that, you know, it's about that end result. And so you got it. There's nothing magical about it. You put in the work.
Right.
Right. So you think about how much you've had to learn about editing your podcast. Probably a lot of it's not very glamorous. But if you actually want to, if you want a podcast that is enjoyable and people watch, you have to be willing to do this stuff, whether anyone cares or not, because it's what's going to get you there.
Yeah.
And so,
100%. It's definitely having the mindset and the drive to even get through all the slow trudges of it. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
And that's what separates, right? That's what separates most people, or why most people end up, I hate to put it this way, but being mediocre, or just being mediocre, is because they're doing stuff that no one cares about. And so because they don't have an audience, because they're not having fun in that moment, they don't do it. And so they don't do the hard work.
Do you think passion, though, does play a role in that? You have to have a passion for it?
No, I think to a degree, but we got to remember that feelings come and go, right? And I mean, and so I would actually say more purpose than passion. You have to have a purpose.
But what if you took it like this? So, okay, you got a garbage man, right? But he has the passion for a garbage man. He loves it and he's doing it.
Sure.
And then you have a guy, successful, whatever, we could be CEO, successful, but it's just day to day for him, in and out. Would you say who's really actually living the more mediocre life, though? The guy who's just in and out, or the guy who's like, I'm having a great time, I don't care, I'm throwing a garbage bag in this garbage bag, but there's a passion there.
Here's the thing, right? Let's change that. So that CEO, though, what he's doing is he's drudgery, but he has purpose, and he has a goal, and he has a focus, and he makes that goal. And part of that goal was the drudgery of having to be CEO of this company for 7 years, because it gave him the credentials and the credibility to fulfill his purpose.
Right.
So
if there wasn't, though, if he had another goal outside of that CEO.
Sure. That's what I'm saying is that if I had a choice between purpose or passion, I choose purpose every time. Yes. If you're just going to just live your life, have fun. Go do passion. Passion doesn't change the world. Purpose changes the world.
What about like passion of like musicians and stuff like that? Uh-huh. They ever had like, they've had impacts on the world, or even if the passion of a politician.
Okay, but I would actually offer it's more purpose, right? So the musicians, for them.
Do they ever coexist? Maybe they're
sure,
on the
absolutely.
Same
they
on
can.
The same page.
They can. I'm saying, though, passion is a feeling that can drive you to do things. Purpose, right? So passion might be the fuel, but purpose is your engine, right? So absolutely. I mean, and that's the thing, is if you look at musicians, we got to acknowledge many of them, it's just luck. They were at the right place at the right time. Great job. Good on them. But, you know, a lot of artists, they see it as art, like it's an art form for them. And so that's it. The purpose is to create the art. And so they use music. For a speaker, they use words. I mean, for a painter, they use paint. And so the art is their purpose. Their life's purpose is to create art. Now they have passion and they use that passion to help it, but that artistry, that's what they're doing. So,
All right, on. Death Star fireplace going again. No, I can see it. Yeah, I mean, no. So, take purpose over passion. Probably be the better thing, because then at the end of the day, your life, there is a goal. There's something to strive for.
Mm-hmm.
And it's even better. It's even better if you can get your purpose and passion to overlap.
Well, and there will be moments, right? And so that's where I go, we got to recognize passion will come and go. Passion is not necessarily always sustainable.
Yeah.
Passion, and so, but if I have purpose,
what's
purpose,
like feelings are fleeting, or something like that.
Yeah, and so purpose lets me slug through when maybe the passion's not there. Now, yes, when I'm passionate and I'm on purpose, it's incredible. I'm going to go far fast because I have this fuel.
Fighting through a war, as far as people like, hey, we have a purpose. Like, if you win, like World War II, fighting, stopping the Nazis was the purpose. And like, no matter what, they were able to track them.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. You had the purpose. Why are we here? Why are we in a trench and I just watched my best friend die type of thing? I have a purpose.
Yep.
Like, that's how powerful purpose would be, I would say. So I totally understand on that. And then, you're a man of faith. So would you say, but your ultimate purpose then is Jesus? Or like, what would you say your ultimate purpose then in life truly is?
Sure.
It should then throw, so you got passion and purpose, but now you're going to take faith and throw it in the mix as well.
Right. So actually, let's broaden it a little bit. Let's broaden it beyond faith. And so, right, there is the concept of relationship, right? And so I would say one of my main relationship is my relationship with God.
Right.
But then I also have a relationship with my wife, with my children. I don't have, and for some folks, they'll say, hey, this is the purpose of our marriage. But so I think there's this reality of relational connection that we're invited to, that we just as humans are created to have. So what I want to do is I want to honor and nurture my relationships. Right. Now, I may, out of that though, I have purpose, and now purpose. So we're very complex, right? So we're created for multiple things. So I'm created, one, to have relationship. I'm also created to work, right? And so really, I think a lot of times when I think of purpose...
To work?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Like what? But like from the very get-go.
Yeah,
like actually, Adam and Eve were created to work
before the fall. God told them,
oh, to tend the garden.
To take dominion. Yeah, to actually manage and care for creation. Like we know, like this is beyond just faith. We know when people don't have meaningful work to do, they languish big time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Being able to say, I have purpose in what I do. Yeah. And then I have, and so maybe if I added this, I have meaning in my relationship. So purpose in what I do and meaning in who I'm connected to. And so I manage both of those areas. I'm faithful in my relationships. I nurture those. And then, that's why I'd say, and I do think God will give us drives and purposes in our life. Right. And so then I have this work that I'm about accomplishing. And so I'm going to do my work, but it can't be at expense of my relationships. And likewise, what we oftentimes will see is people will let relationships be at the expense of their work, right? And so what it is, it's being able to know how to...
Workaholics.
Yeah, what I'm saying is, or someone gets in a destructive relationship and it gets them off purpose. Right, how many young Marines did you know, they met this girl and completely torpedoed their Marine Corps career, and they were unable to fulfill their contract because they got in a stupid relationship?
There are a lot.
Yeah. And so, right, so being able to go, hey, I have relationships, and I have this purpose. And so what I ought to be able to do is do those both well. And there's a balancing there.
They say never mix your work life and personal life.
No, actually, you took it too far. They are mixed. They are mixed, right?
Don't bring your work home.
Well, not in a negative sense, but right, being able to. But here's what we do know is what we need. I need safe places outside of work where I can process things. Right?
If you need to vent about.
Your
safe place.
Yeah, with your family, be able to go, hey, this is going on, or I'm struggling with this. Hey, what about this? And home ought to be this place. Now, if you're frustrated at work and you're taking it out on your kids, right, that's wrong. That's unhealthy. But but there's, you know, I would offer we've been invited again, have an integrated life or a whole life.
Yeah.
And so what you see at work is what you ought to see at home, and what you see at home is, you know, I mean, it, they're just
you really
different.
Shouldn't be changing between
right, yeah.
You should be a consistent
yeah. And go, okay, hey, when I'm at work, I'm gonna fulfill the expectations and responsibilities I have, and I'm gonna be fulfilling the purpose that I feel that I have in that job. Then I'm going to come home and I'm going to enjoy my family, and I'm going to invest in nurturing my relationship with my wife and with others so that I can have meaningful relationships and meaningful work.
Yeah, I am. There we go. As moving on, the next topic I did want to ask, there was a, since where I brought up like kind of Jesus and the, all that I was, there's a Matthew 5.
Sermon on the Mount?
Yeah.
It is. It's part of the sermon.
Yeah. Where he went through this list, and it had me thinking, because everyone, like, a big argument is, like, you know, getting into heaven or getting sent to hell. I mean, that's one of the big staples of faith. I'm just like, oh, you're going to go to heaven? You're going to go to hell? And, like, him covering it. And I got to pull it up so I can just, there we go. Matthew 5, wow. Already on there, because he goes through like it all.
Mm-hmm.
He goes through it all.
Yeah.
But I always felt like it was like, contradicted a little bit. Even though I don't think the Bible contradicts itself, but like when you hear it, it sounds like, wait, what?
Mm-hmm.
Like so you could see. Let's see, right to. I mean, you could even take adultery. I mean, a huge thing in our world today is just, like, porn is everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere. Nudity, everywhere. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's everywhere you look. Everywhere you look.
Yeah.
Hey, shout out to, like, Twitch. They actually ended up, I remember, I think I always talked to you about that, the Twitching thing, like, nudity. They actually went back on it. They were like, you actually, way, and they took it away.
Yeah.
So, like, stand in the line. Way to go, guys.
Yeah.
Well, I even thought about that. I was like, holy cow, Twitch is going into nudity. I mean, it's bleeding now into gaming and like everything. It's just like, there's nothing. I don't believe you should be able to see a naked body and not like have where it's like weird, I guess, in a sense.
Because sure, there's art. Right? Here's the thing is that, and I'll offer, because yes, Jesus talks about, you call someone a fool. If you even have a lustful thought, right? So,
if you think of a girl like that, you've already committed adultery.
Right, yeah. So here is, if we look at it from the perspective of, if simply your relationship with God and getting into heaven or hell is going to be a to-do list, right? So did I do all enough good? Did I do more good than bad? Did I check enough, right? Then what Jesus is fundamentally saying is, you have already gotten it wrong. Right? So
is he just listing all this just to be like...
He's actually going, hey, really? At the end of the day, it is going to be about your heart.
And like love your neighbor.
And right. And so there's two great commandments, love God and love your neighbor, right? Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself.
Someone goes through life, and it's just love, and they're able just to, you know, keep God in the forefocus, and they're not following, like, a list. That would actually be the ideal follower.
Because what we would say is, they're living by faith, right? So Paul will write, or I'm saved by grace through faith, not of works, right? And this has been the whole thing, is that what Christians believe is that it's about this relationship with God. It's about the fact that Jesus died for our sins, right? So the fact, why does it that Jesus has to die, is because no one else can claim perfection. Everyone else has sinned and fallen short. And so if anyone else died, they died for their own sins, right? And so what God does is he says, I will die for your sins. That's what I'm going to do. Now you have to put your faith in me. And oh, by the way, if you really think you can live this perfect life, I'll one-up you. Really? Did you didn't murder anyone? Great. Have you ever thought someone's a jerk? Have you ever kind of cussed someone out in your mind? Missed it.
Yeah.
You know, right.
It's so, so like in that whole list, I'm like everyone has literally done every single thing on this list.
Well, the best part, then you go in there and it's either in 5 or 6, he says, so therefore be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect.
Yeah.
So there you go. So if you want to.
So he was basically, he was kind of just like mocking these guys in a way, kind of like, oh, you want all these rules? Well, here.
Yeah.
Oh, this is, go ahead, follow True. These, and then you get in heaven.
Get to the spirit of the law, right? And that's what you would say is that, right, the spirit of the law isn't just that I didn't commit adultery. That's the letter of the law. The spirit of the law is that I loved my wife to the point where there was no alternative but her, right? That's the spirit of the law. And so being able to go, what he's saying is he's like, hey, I'm inviting you into a much deeper relationship with God than a to-do list. If you want a to-do list, then okay,
like a conversation between. I wish you could actually audibly hear God these days. No way, because I feel like people can, or people say they've heard God, and you can't be like disclaimer on that.
Well, here's the deal, right? But we have plenty. We have 4 books of the Bible that has God speaking, right? Because that's what we believe is Jesus.
Right.
Well,
I'm talking about like as far as like today, you're not seeing like him lay waste to cities with fire and stuff like that. That doesn't happen because of Jesus. We entered into a new age when Jesus bridged the gap.
I would just offer though. Is that everyone, and this becomes, if we could just be, we could acknowledge our natural tendency to be self-centered. So what people are going is, well, I need to hear from God. And then there would be
no faith if he proved it.
Well, but at the same time, as like God's like, hey, I've already said plenty that you're not doing right now. So why don't we need more?
Right? They said, faithful people with little faith.
Yeah, right. So, you know, like, I mean, yeah. So, right. If I'm still not loving my neighbor, God's like, hey, why don't you start by loving your neighbor and then I'll get back to you?
Yeah. No, yeah. Do you believe that you've ever heard God's voice like in a very audible way?
There was one time that was pretty powerful. I'm going to keep that one to
myself. No, you can keep it to yourself.
Yeah, that was
like, you just say, yeah, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, no, it was, I had been wrestling with something and I would say, the feeling of God clearly speaking. And it was a good, powerful check that I needed in what I was wrestling with in that moment.
So, yeah. Well, then, yeah, you'd say God provided your answer.
Yeah.
I would say that's really cool. I mean, I feel like I've gone through enough things that I can't explain, and I mean, I've chalked it up to just God. Yeah. I mean, life is a very complex thing. It's crazy, and it makes it even harder when you do have a brain, like the human brain, which is like what we can imagine, what we can think, and if our brain turns against us, how destructive it can be, how dark and crazy it can get. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
It's pretty insane that our brains are like that. And then you throw in God, and now you're trying to understand this whole other element.
Right. And right, well, this goes to, because Caleb had hoped we had hit on the question on how do you know if it's God who's...
Sorry about that. There was one thing I didn't mute.
You know? Yeah, but Caleb had wanted us to talk about, you know, how do we know it's God's will if it's our own will?
Oh, yeah.
And so, right? And I think that is. I think, again, if we can take a step and just acknowledge our own self-centeredness, all right, and that naturally what we're looking for is God to talk about what I, Paul Armstrong, am supposed to do in my life in San Diego. Now, one level is God big enough and mighty enough to be able to have very specific directions for Paul in San Diego. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Right.
But what if I started, my starting point was, God actually is executing a plan, and instead of me trying to get God to tell me my plan, I start looking for God's plan and start being a part of God's plan. If I really actually said, okay, because again, I think a lot of it, I don't know if God cares that I work at the San Diego Rescue Mission or not.
Right.
Okay. I think what God wants me to do is God says, hey, I've given you certain skills and abilities and I expect you to use them well.
So do you think you're using them well and you think that
say
that you're using God?
Yeah. And so God maybe opened some doors and things along those lines. But what I would say is going that really for me, my primary thing is to go, okay, am I in a right relationship with God such that I'm living a life that regardless of what I'm doing, God is honored?
Okay. No, I got what you're saying.
And then in the course of that, as I become confident that I'm living my married life in a way that is honoring to God, that I'm being a dad that is honoring to God, that I'm being an employee that's honoring to God, that I'm being a supervisor that is honoring to God, now what I can be doing is going, okay, based on how God wired me. So, right, this is where we say, hey, we are a mixture of talents and experiences, right? So we all have our own strengths that we just biologically bring to the table. And we have experiences that have taught us things, right? And so now based on my experiences and based on the talents that God has given me, am I being a good steward of those?
Right.
Am I using those in a way that is having the maximum impact?
Plus that one story is like the guy gave him the gold and the one guy went and buried it and the other guy doubled
it. Yeah, uh-huh, yep. So the talents, so the, right? Yeah. And so that's where I go, we don't need to spend tons of time going, hey, God, should I pick job A or B? I really think that that's like, irrelevant.
The talent with leadership, pick the one that you're going to be able to do it better with.
Yeah, and you know, so now it becomes, because what it becomes then is about going, all right, is my community a community that God would be proud to walk around? Is my family a place where God would be comfortable
inviting Jesus to come hang out with you?
Yeah, right.
During.
And so, right. And so if I can go, okay, yep, I can do that well in my home. I can do that well in my office. But actually, so then right here becomes then the call for the larger church. But then when I walk around San Diego and I see the number of people experiencing homelessness, does the church have more that we ought to be doing? Because are we really a community that can be, that Jesus would walk around in and be like, hey, guys, like, really? Really? You have a person in a wheelchair who you're going to make sleep in a tent on a sidewalk? What?
It'd probably be pretty crazy because you'd see how much resources and technology we have today than what they had during the Roman time when Jesus did come down. And to be able to, like, you still aren't able to take care of just the basic people.
So I thought you guys said you were a Christian nation.
I mean, yeah.
What?
You gotta even think about it. Even when they did make the Constitution or anything, we still had slaves. And so we were a Christian nation. But,
right. And unfortunately, there were some Christian denominations that justified slavery. Right, so
then I would say that comes down to then the whoever the man in power was.
Yeah. So right. So there. That's where, again, now we can bring it back into the Sermon on the Mount. Yeah, right. The Sermon on the Mount, right, is where what had happened was that the religious leaders who had God's law, they had what God gave Moses, right, but they had warped it so significantly
to fit them.
Yeah, right, so that they could maintain their power, and so that they were, I don't even know if they were, you know, meaning to benefit, but what happened was they forgot about the relationship with God and focused on following the rules, and therefore completely missed it. And if there's one thing we, so I can even circle back around to what's God's will for my life. If I can be honest and go, oh, it is easy for us to miss it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I could be accepting a narrative that is completely wrong. Like the
you could just die, go up to heaven, and Jesus looks at you and go, dude, you just missed it.
You missed it big time. You know, and right now what we hope is that God would give me grace, you know, and then be like, but I fell, you know. But I think being able to have humility in going, okay, could I be wrong? Is the way I'm looking at that wrong? I think humility is actually one of the most underrated spiritual disciplines that truly helps us stay connected with God.
I want to totally hop on your train on that, because I agree. Because I think one of my biggest mind shift recently has been going, no, dude, I could be doing this wrong. In me going through, like, I will get warnings. Like, okay, this feels right. Mm-hmm. You know what? This actually feels good. All right, let's look at the benefits of helping other people. All the, okay, this feels good, and continuing with it, or, oh, this feels icky.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I probably shouldn't be going this way, and be able to kind of shift.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I kind of had a brain blank for a sec there.
Yeah. But right, yeah, I mean, right, what you would have hoped is that as Thomas Jefferson is leading, is that at some point he would have been looking at his foreman whipping another human being. Yeah. And gone, maybe this whole slavery thing's not such a good idea. Maybe we should stop that.
Yeah. I had a thing as far as, like, because going off of just God's will, and if you are looking at it as, okay, I'm just going to use what God has given me to the best of my ability, and then also realizing you can miss the mark so easily.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that, would you say then that is where kind of feelings do come in play? Because do you believe then that humans deep down, we are inherently good or inherently evil, that we're able to then, if we can miss the mark that easily, then there has to be kind of like this guideline, right? There has to be some string that we can grab and kind of navigate our way through this easily missed path.
No, right. I think that's where, actually, I think it is. It's, you'll know a tree by its fruit, right? And so I do think that when you look at the fruit that is being produced, it answers the question for you. And so I think that's different than feeling. So if what I'm doing is, if I'm like, oh, wow, I've created an environment where, well, let's take the work environment. So I'm the supervisor and I'm a tyrant, but I'm like, but we are doing things right, right? But what I've created is no one actually feels that they can even speak to me. And I've actually created a culture of fear and a culture where no one's actually living out of their strength, but they're actually living out of weakness. Well, what's my fruit telling me? It has nothing to do. I may feel that I'm right, but when I look around my organization or if I go, I am so dedicated to the calling that God has given me, and meanwhile, my wife doesn't even want to talk to me or hang out with me, and so I'm languishing. So, right, I think being able to go, okay, if I looked at it from the aspect of what is the fruit of my activity, and is it life-giving, and is it actually producing the best? And actually, we're reading a book as a leadership team at work, and it's called Loving God. But one of the things that he highlights, he said, to know if your society is just, you look at it from the perspective of the weakest, not the strongest person in the system.
Oh, just like, yeah, you're only as strong as your weakest link.
No, but this is different. This is different. Different. This is different. That is that if you want to see if your society is just, look at it from the perspective of the marginalized. So this is where we go. Okay, so is our system actually just when we see that it disproportionate our jails and my our homeless shelters are disproportionately filled with people of color.
Right. So, yeah.
So,
saying you want to take the perspective of them.
Yep. And so you would go, so we, and so this is where, as we were to say, you and I need to be super mindful. To white guys in the United States, the system is rigged for us. We have the benefit of that. And if we really wanted to go, what changes do we need to make in our city, in our country? Well, right, then I probably need to look at it from the perspective of a black homeless person that's sitting in my shelter right now.
Well, then, so how are you going to shift society to view that way? How are you going to shift people to start seeing the perspective of someone who's struggling and who gets treated poorly?
Yeah, right. Well, and so part of that is then using the influence and position I have to speak about that. Right, even like right here, being able to say, "Hey, maybe you need to focus on that," to then evaluate and argue for laws. So this is where actually, see, voting matters. Like, I want to vote for candidates that are going to.
He's only saying that because I've never voted.
Yeah.
And all those people that are now like they're mad at me or whatever. Look, I've just always looked at it. I'm like, I've never been able to fully agree with anyone.
Yeah, and right. So I gotta ask and that's why I think a lot of there's some wisdom in some of the things that they'll say is that all politics are local. Is that really? Yes, it's recognizing that our city council has way more impact on our day to day life than the Congress does, right? And so, so at one level, being able to go, okay, is my local political system, is it fair, and are they looking out for the interests that are best for our community? Are we building in? So, right, there's a classic issue in California. California loves to say it's progressive until you start talking about property. And then everyone gets a little weird, right? And so we've created this system in which it's incredibly difficult for poor and for lower income individuals to actually own property. Yeah. And right, and we do. Oh, and so right,
living is crazy.
Right, well, this is where again we go, well, maybe we need to be thinking about this a little bit differently. So here's the deal. How much has rent increased for the average San Diegan these last couple of years? Do you know?
No, but hasn't it a lot?
Yeah,
like,
it's been pretty crazy.
Yeah.
How much has my mortgage payment changed these last several years?
A lot?
Not at all.
Oh,
I have a mortgage payment.
You have a mortgage payment.
Right? So, since I own property, the cost of living in San Diego doesn't have the same impact on me as it does on someone who's renting, right? Because not only, now I'll feel it like at the gas pump and the grocery store, but my main expense, which is housing, has stayed constant. Right. So now that renter who also is experiencing at the gas pump and the grocery store, also their main expense continues to go up.
You're just getting hit left and right.
Yeah,
gonna stop.
There you go. So,
do you think it is they do it on purpose to continue to keep people down?
I don't know that there's not like this maniacal person there going,
You don't think that there are those billionaires out there that's how they just make their money by keeping a class down?
Here's the thing. So let's, I don't think that they are so much, it's not so much about keeping a class down. It's about not messing with their status quo.
All right. So, like, after that little thing, we were starting to go down a little bit of a topic about people keeping lower classes down.
That's where I go. Unfortunately, it's more about indifference. And thankfully, I think there's a lot of areas where we're getting smarter about it. So sometimes you'll hear people talk about ethically sourced food and clothing.
Okay.
Right. So, like, if you really like your fish sandwich And you, every day, you get your fish sandwich and you enjoy your fish sandwich. But what you didn't know is that the way they get the fish is they make these people work grueling hours, underpay them, take advantage of them.
Well,
to get
like
your
people
fish.
Are like with shoes, nice yep. shoes. What if you knew it was made in a Chinese sweatshop?
There you go. So right, and so when we talk about billionaires trying to specifically keep a people group down, now maybe that happens. I'll be honest, I don't talk with a lot of billionaires, but I would offer that more often than not, it's that it goes back to what I was saying there. Is they just don't want their status quo messed with. So okay. if they have a wealth engine and that wealth engine's working, they're going to do everything possible to maintain that wealth engine,
right?
Regardless of the cost.
I mean, it's kind of like the war machine, huh?
Well, yeah, sure, right. It's a different, right, that's exactly. There's different economic engines. There's different things. Then people who are in power want to stay in power. And so if there's going to be something that's going to mess with their power base, they're going to, as a general rule, fight against it.
Right.
So what you really want, this is why you want leaders that are ethical, because ethical leaders are willing
yeah.
to set aside their own interests for the good
That's
of
what I was
the
say,
people.
How kind of like how do you combat that? So if you're going against a force that is like, first off, they have the money, right? They're
yep.
making the money off of this.
Sure.
So you're going against the force not only making all the money, yeah. they're going to make sure they keep making the money.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you're already fighting an uphill battle
yep.
straight from the
beginning. Yeah, well, right. And that's where it's going to go. But if that's the call that you've had, I mean, I just finished listening to Nelson Mandela's autobiography. And here's a guy who started off with going up a very steep hill. The white power structure in South Africa did not want to give up power. He spent 40 years in prison. 40 years in prison, but
I don't think anyone actually handles the grasp of how long 40
right.
years.
So,
because think about, wait, you're
52? I'm 52.
You're
so,
52?
Yeah. So imagine if I went into jail when I was 12. Right, yeah.
Exactly.
So, right, and so longer than you've been alive.
Yeah, he was
but,
in prison.
But
almost twice.
But
almost
they
twice
stayed focused. So it wasn't just him alone. There was an organization. There was a movement, and they were willing to keep plugging away and fighting for that. And so that's one of the things is that when we go, if you do know that you have a just cause, then man, double down on it. It's worth it. And it may not happen in your lifetime, but if you can have moved the ball forward, if you can have kept it focused, if you can have stood your ground and stood the line, then there you go. I mean, like we can look at right now, and yeah, we would say, hey, there's some horrific human rights things that happen in China.
No.
There's people in China, though, today that believe in democracy and are going to continue to fight for reform right. to make it a better
world. I mean, yeah, they've been
world.
Fighting
for yeah.
decades. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Decades.
And yeah. Yeah. So it's, you know.
I mean,
and so unfortunately.
The iPhone factories in China? Or something like maybe it's not the iPhone factories or something. There's like phone factories or something, but they have like total, they have nets outside the windows. They have all that. It's totally set up. Even if you wanted to not live anymore, do that, there's yeah. no way. They have it all. You right. jump, get caught in the net, and they grab you, get back to work.
And so, right. And so, unfortunately, so here becomes the thing for us in the still noticeably the richest country in the world. This would be the challenge is that many in America are content with numbing themselves with entertainment, with being mindless, without having any real purpose.
Out of mind.
Yeah, without having any purpose. Mm-hmm. And so as long as they are living in their little bubble, right? So it goes back to the people in America hate the people that are working in that factory in China?
No, I think they're just blind.
They don't care.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't impact their status quo.
Yeah. They don't have to see it every day.
Yeah. And it doesn't. So it's out of sight, out of mind.
Exactly.
I don't have to worry about it. As long as so, right? So that's it's a call to action for all of us to go, man, am I?
Terrible.
I know. Am I looking out my own window? Am I looking at my own community? Am I looking at my world? And if and it's super easy. This is where I go. It's super easy for people to go, the world's going down. But guess what? Guess whose fault that is?
Yeah. Yours.
Ours. Yeah, it's our fault. If we don't like what we see, guess what? God gave us this incredible mind. God gave us this incredible capacity. And we can see it. We have so many documented stories where people have gotten it right, where justice has prevailed, where right has won the day. So we know how to do it. We just have to care enough to do it.
Yeah. And you think that's just like one of the biggest things missing from the world is just caringness? Just caringness for the fellow human?
Yeah, right. I mean, I think unfortunately, and so this is where it starts to we have to bring it back down to local. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know in other countries. I mean, I pretty much here in the United States in San Diego. Yeah. So what I can tell you,
you see a lot of the world.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, but you know, but that's also been years, right? So I can't tell you the condition of the places I was at.
I mean, five or 10 years ago. Afghanistan.
Yeah.
The kind of environment that was.
Yeah. That was super harsh. There's a lot of dynamics there, right? But I would say, so what we can say is that for us in our culture, in our reality, we gotta start figuring some things out or we're gonna implode, right? We gotta start learning how to.
You don't think we're past the point of no return that we already are kind of in this imploding where we are destructing?
Well, so that's a beauty of humans is that I would say God has made us incredibly resilient. There's always reason to have hope and I think what here would be the thing, so, you know, let's start making it a little bit more tangible, is really for us to be going, am I doing my part in my local community to make it a healthy, safe place for everyone to live?
Everything just starting local.
Right, it does, because, and then I can go, is my neighborhood a safe place?
Yes.
Do I know my neighbors?
Is my city a safe place?
And then what do I need to do? And then fight against, you know, when we see that there is this, you know, for us in our culture, in our context, we love our us thems, right? And really going.
What do you mean by that? I'm cool with these guys.
But we like then demonize the other side. So it's like,
look at the left and right.
Exactly. Right. That's a great example. So, you know, I think one of the things for us that would be helpful is, again, if we were in our local context, is to go, how many people do I genuinely know who think differently than me? That I'm actually able to spend time with, that I interact with.
Me and you.
That's part of it is then being able to go, okay, if we don't start creating an atmosphere where people that are different than us can hang out with us.
That's like we're gonna. This whole podcast is like bore. Okay. Like, I like hearing them because, like, when I think about it, that's so. When I was talking about people, what's your podcast? It's like my podcast is literally so a million different. I can sit down with a million different vibes and show that you can get along with a million different vibes. It's like whoever sits in this chair across from me, I don't care if you're a Satanist and you're like everything opposite of me. Heck no, dude. We can still laugh about funny things. We can still talk about whatever. We can talk about actually where we could rebuild certain parts. Maybe we might not have the same beliefs, but we could probably get together and go, you know what? Yes, a homeless guy sleeping on the sidewalk.
It's wrong. Yeah, right. We could probably figure out a common ground. Right, because now sometimes, right, these is the uncomfortable conversations, though, is that sometimes we need to be able to sit across the table from someone and go, actually, you're wrong, or actually, what you're doing is harming.
Right. But you would agree, but there is a way of going about that.
Yeah,
there is,
yeah.
Of course, a respectful way.
Exactly.
I think you're missing the mark here.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're missing. But okay, so say you do have someone completely different beliefs, different morals, mm-hmm. different everything. How would you be able to sit across from the table and look at them and go, you know, I think you missed the mark? And where you'd be like, oh, it's just because you believe this way.
Yeah,
it's because you believe in that, dude. That's why you think I missed the mark. Well, really, I think you missed the mark.
Right. So, right, it is seeking where the common ground is. And so it's being able to go, Okay, so let's take it. Let's say we had two people of two different faiths. But what we would want to say is that our common ground is that we both want the freedom to fully live out our faith if it's not harming anyone else.
Yeah, so
that's a common right.
That freedom, yeah.
Right, so we could say that's our common ground. Have we created an environment where people can?
I don't think I've ever heard that phrase kind of said. That it's like, oh, why are all these religious fights? It's like, wait, don't we all just want the same thing, to be able to believe in what we believe in a free, safe environment?
Yeah, there you go. And right, that's as a general rule, our country gets that right a lot of the time, no, not all the time.
Shoot over to Israel.
that was part of our constitution. So, okay, like, then,
as far as
so
like then, America,
then what? Speech, this what? This yeah. is what I would go is that then for our country is to go. I got it. Like, we have a lot of flaws within our system, but we actually value the fact that we have democratic processes, and so our common ground is, we actually don't want to mess with those. Like, what
you really look at it, it's more of on the ground level that you're really seeing all this, like, real discrimination. It is just U.S. civilians on civilians going, oh, us, them.
Yeah.
It's like, if you actually look, no, everyone has the right to worship how they want.
Yeah.
Everyone has that freedom.
Right. And then
us that's actually like, oh, you're believing in this.
And
oh.
then, right. And then it's right. It's being able to go, hey, right. What we've established is that we've established. I know we call it the marketplace of ideas. And
marketplace of ideas.
Yeah, right. And so where we get to wrestle with things, mm-hmm. and then a consensus is come to, and then we live with that consensus. Sometimes we win, sometimes we lose, right? That's the nature of any democratic process.
Right.
The opposite is what we don't want. We don't want tyranny. We don't want, you know, because again, it's great if you're the tyrant. Not so great if you're not, yeah. right?
True, yeah.
So
Kim Jong-un, he's kicking it.
Yeah, he's having a blast.
He's having a great time.
This is amazing, you know. Hey, my coffee was a little cold. Can you kill him? Okay. Yeah. Yes, sir. Boom. He's dead. Thank you.
Thank you.
Can I get a new cup of coffee? Well, yes, of course. Right. And so being able to go, okay, hey, for us in our country, if we really do like this idea of freedom, then what we gotta do is appreciate the infrastructure that allows us to have that freedom, and allows us to maybe hate the idea, but not, we don't need to hate the person. I think we need to do some stuff around guns, but the fact if you have guns or don't have guns doesn't make you an evil person or not.
How you use them.
Yeah, right. And so being able to go, let's wrestle with that, and let's have some healthy discussion around what does it mean, you know, what was the intent of the freedom to bear arms. But there's plenty of stuff that we can talk about that doesn't have to make us hate one another.
I mean, it's crazy because I believe in the right of being able to have something to defend yourself.
Mm-hmm.
As I do, I believe that you need to have an arsenal in your house. Probably not, but I agree, shooting guns are fun. Like, so if I could have an arsenal, I probably would have an arsenal in my house.
Sure.
And just like, but off of that, yeah, but to bear arms, kind of the thing is, we just came out of tyrannical war with England,
yeah.
broke free, and we're just like, hey, we don't want that ever to happen to us. So yes, as normal citizens who are fighting that war,
yeah.
just normal guys grabbing their hunting rifles or yeah. whatever rifles they had to go fight a army,
yeah.
to fight for freedom. So like during that time, it's like, you know what? We don't want that. So guess what, guys? If a tyranny ever comes over you, you have the right to pick up your arms and fight them off. Like, yes.
Yeah.
Now it's more of like a redneck kind of guy. Yeah. It's kind of like the South going, hey,
well,
don't take my guns.
Well, no, but I mean, I think there are legitimate people who have respect for firearms, who use firearms responsibly.
Rednecks, I love you guys.
Yeah.
So, right. You guys have great food and all that.
Okay. So, right, it's here becomes the issue, right? It goes, so what we want to be, our common ground is our systems that allow us to have the debate.
Right.
Right. And so what we don't ever want to do is give up those systems. And
you
so
think we're losing those systems?
Sure, right. I mean, like, that's like, here's the thing is that, and this is where our federal government, man, just we just need to take them all out and like fire them all. But right, like, here's the thing is, so the last real impeachment we had was Richard Nixon, and it was, he didn't get impeached. He resigned before impeachment, but everything was pointing to, no joke, you broke a law.
Yeah.
They, now we're you know, we're got the House passing, like, you know, maybe we should impeach Biden.
Yeah.
Like, now we now it becomes, we have this tool that
they're just abusing it.
That now it's become a free for all. And so whoever's the next president.
Joke. That's right. What it's become. It's right. Just joke. So, and everyone even looks at it. I didn't bat an eye when I saw the news story, House trying to impeach Biden. I was like, they're just doing elections next year.
Yeah.
They're just trying to shoot shots now.
Yeah, that's right, right. And so you go, All right. So, hey guys, you know, I mean, we gotta figure it out. And unfortunately, I think right now both parties have gotten it completely wrong. You know,
I think they're so far to each side now.
But the unfortunately, the Democrats feel that they can browbeat the public. You know, those silly Republicans. And all you do is you tell anyone you think they're silly. What are you going to do? We're going to cause them to do double down.
Yeah,
right.
Now the Republicans, are you crazy? Liberals.
Yeah, right. And so, and then, yeah, and then the the Republican Party really does have to figure out. I will speak loud and proud that I am no fan of Trump. I think that he is bad for our country, and I hope that the Republican Party figures it out and stops letting him have a microphone. I mean, the guy has no respect for people. He is dishonest.
Feel like the class of president has kind of gone down. I mean, I'd say because Obama, I give Obama did a lot of good stuff.
I think Obama
was solid. I was too young with Bush, really. Yeah. So, I mean, I know off of what I kind of saw, Bush was a good president.
Here's what you saw. Your mom's calling.
Go ahead.
Hi, honey. We're on the podcast.
Oh, okay. Bye.
Huh? All right. I'll got you later. Bye.
Yeah, bye.
All right. So what you saw with Bush and Obama was kind of the expectation. Both of them, right? You're here. You had two different philosophies, two different perspectives, but they genuinely were respectful to one another.
Right.
You know, when you saw John McCain graciously said, "Hey, I lost to Obama," you know, you'd be caught in. So, and you see the peaceful transition of power, and you even see that Obama showed dignity and grace.
Trump.
Yeah, well, he didn't
lose Trump.
Yeah,
when he passed.
That's what we do. That's what we do in America.
Yeah.
Is that
you knew Obama was not.
Yeah, Bob's like, goodness. Yeah, this guy. Really, really. But you know what? He did everything within his power to help create a transition of power to be able to allow the Trump administration to come in, because that's what our country does.
Kind of screwed the pooch on his.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. I mean, right. Didn't even show up for the inauguration day, like left early that day. And of course, incited people to storm. Yeah, right. I mean, that, and I will tell you viscerally as a veteran, I was so disgusted that day. I was, you know, because I had given 20 years to my nation with the understanding that my loyalty was to the Constitution, not to any one person. And to watch a person try and upend our Constitution, I can't tell you my gut how angry I was, because that was such a violation of the very core principle that our country has been founded on. Right. And so we honor our democratic processes. And sometimes you win and sometimes you lose. And when you lose, you tip your hat to the guy who won and says, "I'll get you next time." Right, and then you can mount a campaign and you can try and win next time. Right, that's what happens. That's what we do. And so,
That was wild.
Yeah.
It's getting wild.
I know.
American politics has become such a joke. And the rest of the world looks at us and they're just like, what the heck are you guys doing?
Yeah. Well, thankfully, that's where as I go. I would say, though, that's where for us is it's easy to just get lost in the national political storyline, which is a bunch of malarkey. But politics is really local. Mm-hmm. And like what's happening at your city council level, what's happening at your county supervisor level. There's good work that needs to be done that we can actually have an influence on, that we can have a voice to, that we can speak into.
Yeah, and we voice can, where your voice can be heard.
And then you know, just, you know, pray for the leaders. But I mean, it is with all seriousness is looking to then collectively as a country, we have some decisions to make. If we really think that Biden and Trump are the best we have to offer to lead this nation, shame on us. Like, we probably can do better.
I just thought it was crazy. Well, I just, the random thought, I was like, this is episode 50, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Pretty cool, episode 50. And this is probably going to be coming out after New Year's. So there's already that next year, mm-hmm. people are probably listening to this. The craziness has started, guys. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll get through it, though. Hopefully.
Oh, yeah.
I hope so.
Yeah, sure. Right, yeah, yeah.
This could be the end.
Right, but that's going to be it. I was actually talking with one of my coworkers, and, you know, and here's my ask of those of you who are in the Republican Party, those of you who tend to be more conservative or feel that you know, you want to look at the election as a lesser of two evils. Just going to tell you, Trump does seem to be poisoning the well in a way that's not healthy. And until moderates and progressives can figure out how to have conversations with conservatives in a way that's meaningful, that honors and respectful of conservatives, they go, man, hey, I want you to have your conservative values. And I think you need to get rid of Trump. I was just going to say that, like,
you have, like, where your thought process, and then you look on the other side where you have, like, the Trump army. Who are like die hard Trump is like,
yeah.
They look at Trump as like a savior of America.
Yeah, right. And
like
so
flying
so,
on a ball.
Right. And so, right, what we need to do, and that's right, that's the legitimate conversation, is how do we engage those people in a way that's actually respectful of them? Let me say the average person who's voting for Trump is not crazy.
No.
Okay. That probably it is rooted in that they do have more conservative tendencies and policies, and they're not a fan of some of the progressive movements that are happening in our country.
Or, I mean, it's kind of sad to think, but do you think a lot of it is some people are just going to vote for Trump just because they think it's cool to vote for Trump?
Or sure, right. That, well,
or they think it's funny to see a liberal lose their mind? Or to see all, like...
Right, yeah, so right.
That part where it just seems like it's kind of people are just more of like trying to get each other angry.
Right, yeah. And so it becomes, it's like the 2-year-old who's like, I'll show you, I'm going to hold my breath. It's like, well, okay. Yeah, wow. I'm still fine. Yeah. And so right, but that, I mean, that's a legitimate, so that is the challenge, right? And that's where I would say that, those that other folks need to figure out, we need to learn a smarter way to engage. And so if the person's just going to do it because, you know, they want to see if they can create chaos,
it seems like a lot of
I don't know that. So I would offer more likely than not, it is that they would almost frame it of the lesser of two evils. They think some of the progressive agenda of the Democrats are worse than Trump.
But you really think the average American, I'm not saying it's because we either people or like people want to look into it. It's just simply, I don't think a lot of people care. Mm-hmm. So when it comes down to it, it's going to be off of feelings. It's going to be which side or what your friends are going on or what the mainstream media seems to be pointing you towards. Because there are like, you look at like on Instagram, if I scroll more, let's say like more left stuff, more people that talk about leftist views and stuff like that, that's going to be my feed. Even my random feed,
right.
I go and it's going to just feed me until I'm like, oh, like I'm extreme.
Yeah, right.
Extreme that way.
Yep. So
do you think a lot of people are really taking that into consideration?
No, I know. Unfortunately, like we're not right. And so that's shame on us. Again, that's where all we can do is that that's one of the things that I'm going to be evaluating for myself in 2024 is what's my role in the political system. Not that I have this major voice, and not that I like it, but we do need to make sure people are thinking about it. Like if people are just accepting the status quo, I would advise you to stop.
Keep them down.
Yeah, right. If
we actually think about it, what we're talking about, the bigger picture, we already know that the forces out there to say like the war machine, stuff like that, that are actively bringing this world further and further down just for off of greed or selfish reasons. Or even why there are still homeless people. Mm. There's probably like, why don't we want to give them or build houses? It's not going to make me any profits. Mm. Or like anything like that. If this world is moving off of greed, it's going to keep going down if you decide, I'm going to sit in my house. I'm not going to do anything. Hopefully my neighbor does that.
Yeah, right.
Hopefully he gets off his couch and goes, does something. Because then I can sit here and do that. But that's the thing. If you're thinking that way, just know your neighbor's probably thinking the same thing.
Sure.
He's probably sitting down hoping that you're getting off the couch. Exactly. You're going to go outside and you're going to do something.
Right.
So if we're all thinking like that, well, then we're just gradually going to keep going down.
Yep. So we need to start figuring out what engagement looks like in a way that's meaningful and tangible and being able to go, actually, you know what? Our country, we have some good things in our country that if we actually managed our democratic processes in a healthy way, if we actually did do some reform and have expectations of justice for all people, we could actually be a great nation. So this is the thing, is that we've always had some good and bad in us. So there was never this golden age when we were great. Like, let's just take apart Trump's statement. He's going to make America great again. Great again when? When we had legalized segregation, when we had legalized slavery.
Yeah, okay, we haven't all.
When we had, when we meddled in other countries.
Some pretty great things.
Okay, here's the
amazing feats that America has come over.
So here's the thing. Here's what I would say is we are like every other, just as we are as individuals, are we as a country. We have incredible capacity. And our country has done things that have been amazing. Our country have done some things that have been awful.
Right.
Like just as every human being has done great things and things that they're not so proud of, right?
Yeah.
So if we, instead of saying we're going to be great again, said, let's live into our potential. Let's live into the best version of ourselves.
How are you going to make that a catchy slogan? Make America great again.
No, or how about
make America prosper again?
No, well, yeah, we
take out the again.
Do I just go? Let's live into. Well, you can make that. I could go that. Let's live out our potential.
Let's live up to our potential.
Let's live up to our ideals. America. Let's mean the words
live up
we say.
To your potential.
Yeah, live up to words we say.
Yeah, this is all of them. Yeah.
Hey, if it is it truly the land of the free and the home of the great? Let's do that.
Yeah,
let's make this the land of the free and the home of the brave. Right? Yeah. Let's be brave. Let's just be brave.
Yeah, that's going to be the hardest feat of people is actually people wanting to put themselves out there. Because, I mean, that's another thing. You look at our society and you see we're behind screens. There are screens everywhere.
Yeah.
And it'll suck your soul out.
Yeah.
It'll keep you just in a state where you don't want to talk to anyone.
Yeah.
Why do I even want to go out? Why do I want to do this? Like, I could just swap my VR set on. I could watch a sunset on the beach and actually go see a sunset on the beach.
Yeah.
And probably find more meaningful out of it. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
This world is just moving into, I don't know, a million directions.
Well, but so again, though, it always has been.
Well, right? Yeah, it's a complex thing.
It's just now that we can now see other people going in that direction.
It's a complex thing, but there's a one thing, if we all just move towards to the betterment of humanity.
Yeah.
everything, all the complex thing. It's going to get all complex, but if the purpose, like you're talking earlier, that if you do have the purpose, if humanity's purpose was betterment of humanity, we would just move. Even if we had to trudge through all that slow stuff, we'd be actively moving forward.
Imagine if we just loved our neighbor as ourselves. Like, let's do it. Simple, but profound.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe Jesus was right.
Maybe. Maybe. I mean, you can never say 100% till our lights go out. And then when you're facing them, it's either going to be like, you're going to either be happy to see them or you'd be like, oh, no.
Yeah, about that.
My bad.
Can I just go back to life? I just need to delete my Twitter feed real quick or my X feed real quick.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Hey.
So I guess, I'm wrapping up this episode, I guess. What do you kind of say the summary to the people? What would you kind of want walking away from this? Like, hey, do this, go out.
I would say be involved. Open your eyes.
Yeah.
Do some meaningful work. Get out there. Right? Because really this is, if we think our country sucks, it's our fault. And once we all have that mindset that our country doesn't have to suck, my community doesn't have to suck, my workplace doesn't have to suck, I can be an agent of change, then, wow, we can actually do a lot of good.
I'm a huge supporter of a change. I believe no one's ever too far gone and nothing's ever too far broken to be able to be fixed.
Yeah, and so maybe that's a good start for someone. Is we have people that we can look at who've done amazing things. Mm-hmm. Whether it's Nelson Mandela, whether it's Martin Luther King Jr., whether it's Gandhi, there are people who have really positively impacted the world. Well, start to read about their lives, learn about them.
Even the guy who just wrote a song called Amazing Grace.
There you go.
never believe the life of that guy lived.
Right, and what you'll find is, right, if you look at anyone's life, they will have blemishes. They're by no means perfect, right? They have good and bad, but what they did was they stayed on a path, and they plugged away.
They found a purpose.
Yep.
And even when they didn't have the purpose, you saw how kind of crappy the life went.
Yeah,
there wasn't a purpose to be driven there.
Yeah.
All right, even really a passion much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, right, and you see that there's no actual substantive difference between that person that we may idealize now and us. Because we all are people who have some good and bad. So just as they were able to have a net positive impact on the world, we can have a net positive impact on the world, and we can actually collectively then make this a better place.
You could be just like the guy in the story, and then next thing you know, they wrote a book about you.
Hey, yeah,
huh? You could be the next book, guys.
Hey.
There you go. Right on. I think I'm like a lot to process, but guys, get involved. Get involved out there. Man, this world's going crazy, but I mean, we can figure it out. We're all in it together. That's betterment of humanity.
There you go. If it's going crazy, it's our fault.
That's true.
So let's make it.
It's like an asteroid.
That's right, yeah. But if we're saying that the world's crazy out there, well, maybe we get out there and make it a little less crazy.
Yeah. Don't think your neighbor's getting off the couch. You got to get off the couch.
There you go.
Heck yeah. Well, right on, guys. Well, hey. As always, just keep on living your best lives and just keep on having the best days, weeks, months, years. And whatever you do, just do it right and live your best life. And guys, you're never too far. Change is always right around the corner. Love you guys. We're out of here. Thanks for coming on, Dad.
Yeah.
As always, I appreciate it. Right on. All right, we're out.